Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, McCauley Matthew, I am, of course, William Memo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Good. How's it going?
I'm all right. Just binge watching on Stranger Things like you were. And, I'll get into that later on in the show. We have some time. Without spoiler alerts, of course, right? Without any spoilers, of course.
Yeah.
But, what we do on this show, we talk sports, entertainment, everything else. We're going to lead off with the shocking firing of Joe Girardi. The Mets hiring their new manager, Mickey Callaway, the former Cleveland Indian pitching coach. We'll also talk about what's going on with the Jets this past week and their upcoming game with the Falcons, Giants bye week as they try to regroup. We're also going to talk about, what happened at the Table as in Chair pay-per-view event, with Kurt Angle making his wrestling return, first time in 11 years, the epic matchup of, Finn Balor versus AJ Styles. And, of course, what happened on Raw with the SmackDown roster just destroying, the Raw roster. And, plus more. So, stick around for that. But most importantly, if you guys want to talk about any of these topics and more, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So, feel free to talk about any of these topics and more, and we'd love to hear from you. But with further ado, let's talk about the shocking news, the very strange news about Joe Girardi getting fired after he was one win away from taking the Yankees to the World Series. Some might say stranger things have happened at Yankee Stadium. And with that, the shocking news, I don't know if you heard that, Matt.
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah, but the shocking news out of baseball was, of course, the Yankees stunning the baseball world and firing Joe Girardi, after, the guy, took them to the World Series. In 09 and won a championship, not to mention six playoff berths and, literally was one win away from the World Series,
Yeah.
And nearly overcoming a 0-2 deficit, winning three straight at home, and then, losing the last two, on the road in Houston. And as a result, the Houston Astros go to their second ever World Series appearance, first ever as an American League team. And as a result, the Astros got literally their first two wins in the World Series, because in 05 they got swept by the White Sox. So as we speak right now, Astros have a 2-1 lead, and the game is tied 1-1. And, Astros is trying to go up 3-1 in the series.
Yeah,
Dodgers just took a 2-1 lead. Dodgers just took the lead by 2-1 as we're speaking. So the Dodgers have a lead, and the Dodgers are going to try to, even up this series, and then have Kershaw on the mound, up for game five, which I mean, that's a tough task for anybody. But back to Girardi, what was your thoughts of Girardi being fired? I know there was rumors that Girardi was going to think about, was considering whether or not he was going to retire, you know, because he might possibly want to spend time with his family, you know. But me personally, I was surprised, you know, he took a young core with, Aaron Judge and Gabby Sanchez and that young, pitching staff, you know, with the exception of CeCe Sabathia. And, you know, they overachieved. You know, this team looks like a team that's, you know, a couple of, you know, on paper, a couple of years away from winning a title, but off what they just did in this postseason, you never know. If Yankees make the right moves, you know, you never know. They could win it all again. Stranger things have happened. You never know. So what's your thoughts on
it? Yeah, I mean, I was surprised that they let him go, especially after, you know, them being one game away from going to the World Series. You know, Girardi did a great, you know, this was possibly one of his greatest years as manager of the Yankees, you know, the way he managed the team and the young players and thus overachieving, like you said, you know, exceeding expectations for this year. I mean, at times, there were some blunders that he made, you know, like the one that in that ALCS game, was it game two? Oh, was it the ALDS? I forget what series it was. When he didn't have that hit batsman call reviewed. There's been some blunders by him, but, I mean, he's been a great manager for the Yankees for the last decade since Torrey left, you know. He's had the best winning percentage as a manager the last 10 years. He's taken us to four ALCS and won us a championship back in 2009. And we've got into the postseason, you know, how many times have we been to the postseason? Four or five times under his wing? Six? Yeah, I forget. But, yeah, I mean, he's had a great run here as manager. But I think the Yankees feel like this is, you know, since we're rebuilding, you know, they need a new voice and a new manager for these younger players. And there's been some whispers that there's been, you know, Girardi has lost some of his players. And there's been some communication issues between him and the players and management, and that's the main reason that they let him go, you know, because of that. I mean, it's unfortunate. You know, I would love to see him come back as manager. You know, I was a big fan of the guy, but, you know, the Yankees feel like they need to, in this rebuilding process, they need a new manager to that can communicate better with these young players and get these players in the right step to becoming a world championship caliber team again. And, you know, they're headed in that direction, but, you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, I hope Girardi the best. You know, he's most likely going to take that national job itself, like right now, possibly, which would be another good position for him. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a business. So we have to look at it that way.
I mean, that's a possibility. I think I'm hearing, I think Dennis Martinez might win that national job, you know, after Dusty Baker got surprisingly fired, even though, you know, back-to-back seasons, you know, Nationals have been, you know, the NL East champs, but they've been ousted, you know, in the first round. So,
yeah.
You know, obviously – yeah, but, you know, it's a little surprising that they fired him. So they'd give him at least one more year. But, yeah, Girardi might possibly take that job. I'm thinking Kevin Long might take that job, you know, or maybe even the Yankee job, you know, since, you know, the Mets didn't hire him. And instead they hired, you know, the former pitching coach with the, you know, with the Indians, who did a phenomenal job keeping – you know, that rotation, led by Kluber healthy. So I thought Kevin Long might, might go with the Yankees. You never know.
Possible, yeah.
I definitely don't.
It might happen.
Yeah, I definitely don't see them hiring Dusty Baker at all. I think he's been around. You know, he's one of the winningest managers in the postseason. He hasn't won the big one. I mean, his closest was 2002 with the Giants, but as we know, the Angels overtook the Giants and won that series.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Dusty Baker, he won as a Dodger as a player, but he's trying to win that first title as a manager, and it's been very elusive to him.
Yeah, he's been close, but he's always come up short. Dusty Baker has.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you look at all these managers that have been fired this year: John Farrell, Dusty Baker, Joe Girardi. They all had great years with their teams, but again, this is a business, and they all got fired for some reason, other than winning. It's something deeper than that.
Yeah, you can even make a case for Terry Collins, even though they had a horrible year this year. But, the team hasn't been healthy at all, this whole season.
Yeah.
And, and this was like his, this is one of his, he's one of the winningest managers in my history.
Yeah.
In my opinion, his in-game strategies leave much to be desired, but for the most part over the years, the players have played for him. But, yeah, this year was really horrible. And, as a Mets fan, I'm hoping Mickey Callaway, with his expertise as a, pitching coach with Cleveland, he can bring some of that, winning pedigree back to the Mets, which was just 2 years away from being NLCS champion, the National League champion. So hopefully if they could stay healthy and depending on who they get as a pitching coach, which I'm hoping and I'm praying it's either Dave Vreeland, a guy you're very familiar with in 2009, and
yep.
with the 2015 Kansas City Royals. I don't remember what team they defeated in the World Series, but that guy, he was the pitching coach for the 2009 and the 2015 champion Yankees and Royals. So, that guy has a winning pedigree. So I'm hoping he's my number one pick. And my second 1A would be Dave Rigetti. This guy, obviously, he threw a no-hitter for the Yankees, and he's been a long-time pitching coach for the Giants until they just recently moved them into the front office. So, and this guy won 3 championships with the Giants as the pitching coach. So those are the two guys I'm hoping and praying becomes the pitching coach. And then you'll have a two-headed monster with Callaway and either Dave Vreeland or Rigetti, as his pitching coach. You'll essentially have 2 pitching coaches on the team if that would happen, if you have a guy like that. And then you got Chris Basho, who got fired by the Cubs. Obviously he was the manager of the Cubs, for the pitching coach of the Cubs during the title year. But I think Island and Rigetti would be the best guys. Island, he won in two places, and then you got Rigetti, who's been a lifelong, giant, pitching coach. So, you can't go wrong with either of those two guys, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Let's go through with that.
Yeah, so it's a...
We'll see.
It's a right now, we're going to have to see who these next... who manages both the Mets and the Yankees in the next few months here.
It's not looking good for the Astros, man. They just broke it open.
Peterson on the Dodgers just hit a 3-run home run to make it 6-1.
Yeah, it's done. This just like that, the series swung in the Dodgers' favor 6-1, and then you got Kershaw on the mound, and then they're going to go back to Dodger Stadium. Man, this is not looking good. This is not looking good for the Astros right now.
Yeah. Well, Astros are a resilient team, so I don't think they'll let this loss affect them.
Yeah, but they got Kershaw. And, you know, like the saying goes, momentum is just as good as the next day starting pitcher. And you got Kershaw on the mound, so.
Yeah, but, again, Astros are a very good hitting team. I mean, even in that game against Kershaw, I mean, they still got to him a bit, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
I think it's going to be a tough matchup. It's going to be a good matchup.
You know, they do have – you know, a strong rotation with Verlander and Keuchel.
Yeah,
so,
Keuchel will be going against Kershaw tomorrow.
So that's gonna be a pitching duel. They got a fighting chance.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a pitching duel. And then Verlander, you know, game six.
Yeah.
So this is Yeah, this is going to be one for the ages. You thought the LCS championship,
yeah.
You know, until a few years ago when they moved the Astros into the American League. And just like that, as soon as they moved Astros to the American League, not to mention with the rookie years of Correa and Altuve, you know, it's been a complete 180.
Oh, yeah. They're a good team.
But, yeah, man, we'll definitely keep you posted what happened next week about what's going on this. You know, this one looks like an easy W for the Dodgers. So if anything dramatic happens, we'll keep you posted. But let's move on to the TLC pay-per-view event. Sasha Banks defeated Alicia Fox, as we both expected. Let me see. Asuka, or Asuka, as we previously thought she was called. She defeated Emma, which was no surprise in her WWE debut. Brian Kendrick and Gallagher, or as I would call him, Gallagher, because that's how you usually pronounce it. But they faced Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann. And, of course, the good guy Swann and Alexander won. As we expected, Alexa Bliss won, defeating Mickie James. And still lost to Enzo Amore. Enzo Amore is the new champion again, a two-time Cruiserweight champion. And then here's one of the best matches of the night, Finn Balor. Defeated AJ Styles, his former Bullet Club member and, you know, his successor.
Finn Balor was a demon.
Yeah. The demon king versus the phenomenal one. And, you know, the match didn't disappoint at all. And then, of course, to me, the match of the night. Well, before we get to the match of the night, Jason Jordan defeated Elias. And today, the match of the night was, of course, The Miz, Sheamus, Cesaro, Kane, and Braun Strowman versus the Raw Tag Team Champions, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, the two-thirds of the Shield. And, of course, since Roman Reigns got hurt, due to the virus that's been going around with WWE lately, which prevented Roman Reigns from teaming up with his Shield brothers. Kurt Angle made his first in-ring debut in 11 years with WWE, you know, since he left WWE. And, man, that match was entertaining as heck, man. Crangle hitting Olympic
right.
Through the tables. I mean, that match was like, I mean, there's no words to describe that match. I mean, there was a lot of action going on in that match. It looked vintage.
That was great to see Kurt Angle in the ring again. And, you know, he hasn't lost it. He still has it.
I knew that we were going to say that on Raw. Once he, you know, once the Raw started, which we're going to get into that in a few seconds. Kurt Angle was amazing. And, you know, he was the honorary Shield member. And they all hit their finishing moves on The Miz. And Kurt Angle, Rollins and Ambrose hit the Shield, the triple power bomb for the victory to cap off with a terrific match for Kurt Angle. And onto Raw. As TLC was great, Raw was the exact opposite because the Raw was blindsided the SmackDown roster when the Raw roster and Shane McMahon led a WCW/ECW alliance from back in 2001, a roster ambush where the Raw roster was not even expecting that. Shoot, I wasn't even. I mean, it was exciting to see. It didn't make any sense to me, but I mean, obviously, I knew, you know, Survivor Series. You know, it's Raw versus SmackDown. This is the best utilized version of bragging rights, the pay-per-view they had for the past couple of years. This is the perfect opportunity to use, Raw versus SmackDown, because, you know, it's so team-oriented. My problem with it was two things. You know, you have people breaking character. You have good guys attacking good guys just because they're on different brands. And you know what I'm saying? It's like, it didn't really make sense to me, you know, but it was exciting to see, to be honest with you, you know, so I can't really nitpick it, but I didn't mean people breaking character, but it was exciting to see. I'll give them that.
You know, I like it, you know, I like it. I'm tired of seeing the, you know, the same heel versus good guy, you know, let's go the old school. Let's see, you know, let's go Attitude Era where you see heel fight heel or face fight face. You know, let's see that again. You know, and I think the Survivor Series is going to bring that. You have these two brands battle it out with each other.
No, I'm all for it. It's just weird seeing like Bobby Roode and Ziggler and New Day. You know, they're all teaming up and being buddy buddies, and yeah, that's Rusev and all those guys. Like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, buddy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then afterwards on SmackDown, they act like nothing happened. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like the next day, you know, Rusev and New Day are like teaming up to beat up SmackDown, the Raw roster, and then the next day they're having like a feud. You know, it's like,
yeah, that's
like that, you know what I mean?
That's like the traditional Survivor Series. Like, you know, a lot of old school Survivor Series matches, you had like weird tandems that they put together. Like, you know,
yeah,
see,
they
like,
didn't even continue. The storyline from like on Raw. Like they're united. I mean, there was Ziggler did allude to it. He was like, hey, you know, don't get any ideas. You know, just because we were, you know, allies yesterday, don't mean, you know, what we have is against, you know, is done. He's the only person that I could think of off my memory that, like, actually alluded to, you know, what happened on Raw. Obviously, Shane McMahon explained his actions. And, of course, Daniel Bryan wasn't aware and he wasn't okay with it. But, yeah, other than that, everybody act like, you know, everybody's feuds continued as regular and there was no mention of them all putting their differences aside just to attack Raw.
Right.
You know, for Raw supremacy. But, needless to say, it was exciting to see. I'm looking forward to that. Well, my nitpicking, another nitpicking, is the title matches. The main heavyweight titles. The other matches I don't mind, except obviously, essentially, all of these titles are non-title matches. Basically, there's going to be no title changes. in this pay-per-view event, one of the four major pay-per-view events. I mean, I'm glad that they're going to have, you know, elimination, traditional Survivor Series matches, which they should always have, no doubt about that. That's great. They're going to, for the first time ever, they're going to have women elimination chamber matches also, officially. Let me see. I'm trying to think. But, yeah, my biggest complaint is Brock Lesnar versus Jinder Mahal, you know. And of course, it just doesn't fit. And this is, the reason is because of Jinder Mahal, you know. It would have made much better if they had a better champion, like a legit champion like AJ Styles or Nakamura, being an underdog versus Brock Lesnar. You essentially, with Brock Lesnar and Jinder Mahal, you basically have two heels battling each other. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Jinder Mahal is not on that level. And even Paul Heyman said that. And you know, Paul Heyman always hypes up the matches, his opponents, you know, before Brock Lesnar destroys them. But even he couldn't even do that. He couldn't even do that. You know what I mean? Like, because there's no credibility. There would be no... Paul Heyman's credibility would have been shot if he acted like Braun Strowman, Jinder Mahal's on the same level as Braun Strowman. You know what I mean?
It's clearly not.
Because of Jinder Mahal, and 2007 was such a promising year. They had such a talented roster, but them it all snowballed ever since WrestleMania. Well, this is even before WrestleMania with the Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt feud. That didn't make any sense, and the snowball effect was after Bray Wyatt lost to Randy Orton. Randy Orton had a meaningless title reign, which was highlighted by Jinder Mahal defeating him. And ever since Jinder Mahal defeated him, it was just a glaring, you know, deficiency with the SmackDown heavyweight title. You got AJ Styles in the mid-card. AJ Styles, Kevin Owens on the mid-card. After the superstar shakeup, is just, that's what really, SmackDown really got destroyed. SmackDown really got destroyed by the SmackDown, by the superstar shakeup.
Yeah, I mean, SmackDown for a while there, they were better than Raw, you know, earlier this year.
Show, yeah.
But yeah, after that shakeup, I mean, it's been weak.
They did it too prematurely. They should have waited until the feud was over. The House of Horror should have been a title match. And then afterwards, Bray Wyatt lost the title or whatever, they could have did the shakeup and moved him to Raw, if that's what they decided.
Yeah.
Because it made it all wonky. Because they moved him too early, Bray Wyatt had a rematch with Randy Orton, even though he was on a different show, and the title wasn't on the line. So Bray Wyatt won a meaningless match, didn't have the title, even had Jinder Mahal, cost Randy Orton to win, which Randy Orton essentially had two feuds going on,
right,
with Bray Wyatt and Jinder Mahal, you know, for the title. And that really ruined WWE, especially SmackDown, ever since then. So, I mean, we'll see what happens.
It might be time for them to end this SmackDown-Raw split. Because you see how vulnerable both brands are now, because if one wrestler from either brand is sick, they need to call a wrestler from the other brand to come over. You saw that when Roman Reigns went out and Bray Wyatt, they were sick and they had to call AJ Styles to fill in and had Kurt Angle. Like, it shows you how vulnerable the roster is right now. Mm-hmm. You know?
Nothing. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah, you should just go ahead and just combine them for a bit there. And, you know, they should make this split, you know, a seasonal thing instead of having it, you know, all the time.
because they're trying to act like it's a real sports thing, and it doesn't make any sense.
It really
doesn't make any sense. SmackDown basically rewarded, you know, AJ Styles to help them out, and then
right.
how they returned the favor, they beat up on the Raw roster the following day. It really doesn't make any sense. And then afterwards, I'm trying to think. I mean, it literally doesn't make any sense. Well, maybe the Raw roster will inspire the New York Giants in their bye week to try to bounce back, from their 1-6 season and their most recent loss, I think, was 26-7 to the Seahawks. What's your thoughts on the whole season? Jerry Reese, the GM, taking the blame for this horrible start.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's Reese's fault. I mean, Reese has done everything to help this team. You know, they have the talent, they have the players. This should be blamed on their freaking coaching staff. The coaching staff is responsible for what's going on. The offensive coach and the defensive coach. If they don't make the playoffs, which it is right now, it seems like they're not going to. A lot of heads need to roll on that coaching staff, including probably McAdoo. I think McAdoo has done a horrible job managing the staff and the players and their offense and defense. I mean, this team has looked horrible this year at times. To have one win in your first 7 games or 8 games, whatever, and you're expected to make the playoffs and possibly, be a Super Bowl contender, and right now you look like trash. I mean, someone needs to go after this season. And it's not going to be Reese. It's going to be the coaching staff, because they've done a horrible job coaching these players.
I think McAdoo is definitely going, and possibly Reese. But, yeah, right now they really need to rebound. They're going to be hosting the Rams next week, after, they have the bye week, this week. So, yeah, Giants need to rebound. And another team on the other side need to rebound is the Jets. Jets are they're going to be hosting the Falcons. And basically the Jets, they got to contain Julio Jones, who's having an off year. He only has one touchdown. Not to mention McCown has to rebound from, blowing that game, on Sunday. He had 3 touchdowns, but he had a costly interception in the final minute to cost him the game after they blew a 14-point lead. And the Jets, they lost, 31-28. So, yeah, the Jets got to try to snap this 2-game losing streak and get back on their winning ways, because, they faced some horrible losses to the Dolphins and the Patriots. So they definitely got to – if they want to try to get their, improbable playoff run intact, they gotta win the Falcons, because they just have a tough season this year. So they got to get back on their winning ways.
Yeah, and the Falcons, they've lost a few games as well, and they're looking to get back on track. And, they got a great team yet that they haven't been playing that well, this year so far. But, they got a lot of offensive guys on that team that could break out any moment. You got Freeman, you got Julio Jones, you got Matt Ryan, of course. I mean, they got a lot of weapons, so might be a tough task tomorrow for the Jets.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, they definitely gotta bounce back, get that running game going, and that's the way they're gonna get this W. Hopefully everything will work out for them. And another team, NBA, Knicks finally got on the winning board. The last team to finally win a game. They finally won Friday night. I think the final score was 107-88. My memory was correct. Porzingis, he had 30 points, 9 rebounds. And Nila Kina, he had a coming out party. He scored his first 9 points. And they defeated the Nets, you know, and the Nets have been playing well this year, shockingly. Nets even defeated the Cavs, which, you know, the Knicks are going to be facing them tomorrow. Knicks are hoping that they could shock the world and defeat LeBron James tomorrow as well.
I'll say this about the Knicks. You know, the Knicks, you know, they right now, you know, they got a lot of young players on the team. Obviously, their best player is Porzingis, who they have to feed him the ball as many times as possible for them to even have a chance to win any game. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I mean, you look at the team, you know, they could possibly make the playoffs because the East is weak, but, you know, they're not going to compete for the championship anytime soon. And you got a guy like Tim Hardaway who hasn't really done much. I mean, you give him a huge contract to come here, and this guy's looking like a bum. I mean, I'm ready to kick him out in New York myself with my my Jordan Nike sneakers.
But if you do that, you're gonna have to package him with Noah once he finally gets cleared from the suspension.
I'll buy their flights.
But Cantor, he's been playing well. I mean, he didn't really play that well yesterday. And Herman Gomez, who hasn't played much this year, he showed up yesterday. And
yeah.
Hopefully they'll find a way to balance those guys out. Let both of those guys play.
Is it me or does Cantor looks like a World War II Nazi soldier? Doesn't he?
What?
He looks like a World War II Nazi soldier.
I would have to look again. But
yeah, I know. Just his look.
I'd have to look. But what was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say. That was my train of thought. Let's shift quickly to Stranger Things. I mean, I know you saw the whole series. I'm up to episode 7 out of 9, and you know it's been awesome. You know they got new characters. You know they got a new bully who's terrorizing the town.
Yep.
He has a sister who basically is like Tori from the last season of Saved by the Bell, you know, who all the guys, you know, like. Not to spoil anything for you. They got a new villain. I won't spoil that for you as well. But let's just say, you know, he's mad about you, if you know what I mean. But I won't tell you who it is. You'll just figure out who it is. And it's a great season, man. It's a great show, man. You know, I can't wait to watch these last 3 episodes and, you know, see what happens. But, what's your thoughts without, you know, spoiling anything for anybody who hasn't watched it?
Oh, I thought, you know, this season has lived up to the hype so far. I mean, the writing is great. You have, I've counted about maybe 8 different storylines in this series,
mm-hmm.
but all of them are connected to each other, you know, and it keeps you on your feet guessing what's going to happen next, you know, and I don't know, it just leaves you wanting more and you wanting to watch the next episode to see, you know, what happens next. And it's definitely lived up to the hype so far, and it's even better this time around than the first season.
See, man, you keep reading my mind, man. You hang out with Eleven too much. Can you see, man? Yeah, man. I was about to put you on the spot. Which season you think is better, season 1 or season 2? And you just answered it. You said season 2 is better.
Yeah,
so,
So far, it's definitely better. Yeah.
Man, I don't even want to be honest with you, I see the question, I don't even know how to answer it. It's, like, really a draw. I mean, like, season two perfectly built upon, you know, the foundation that was set in season one. And, you know, it's phenomenal. It's, like, right up there with season one, if not better. I mean, I don't know. It's a tie. Maybe I'd give season one a slight edge since it created the whole mythical that Hawkins, that that all the people and have been in that city. So maybe I'd give a slight edge to season one. It's kind of like a new hope for Star Wars. It set the foundation that all the other future seasons of Stranger Things, or in the Star Wars case, Star Wars movie that they all follow. So,
yeah.
If you ask me, I'd say season one, just a 10 seed bit. But this season has been phenomenal, man. Can't wait to see the next couple of episodes. Is there anything you want to talk about?
Well, the Astros just won game four, so it's the series is tied 2-2. So tomorrow's game five, and hopefully they'll look to get the lead. Well, one of these teams will look to get the lead in the series. But other than that, check out my show, IMAC, in about 17 minutes here, midnights, Saturday night / Sunday mornings, only on Block Talk Radio. Come back, check out Sports Urban Legend.
Yeah, you heard him. Check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11. And, of course, check out IMAC every midnight, Saturday / Sunday. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace, everybody.